And that's okay, as long as you don't get downcast about it and you just make the course correction by talking with the Lord. What's happening here? Why is this little curve in the road presenting itself to me? And so the children are dismissed. There you go. I don't know what the right word is. Curious, or the Lord's gotten my attention, or something along those lines. Some of you weren't here when Kim opened the service this morning, and she doesn't know that that's the very passage where you left off. That's where I'm going to start preaching this morning, from Colossians chapter 1. And so when things happen like that, the Lord is doing something particular, I would say. And so, will you pay attention today? I mean, I hope that you always do, but, you know, will you make a conscious effort to say, Lord, I want you to imprint something in my spirit today through your word, and impact me with your word today. So I'm going to start Colossians 1, verse 13 to 20. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Very powerful passage here. It's been a few months now that I've been studying the scriptures related to containing the words all things. The focal point, or the focal scripture for my study has, and the subsequent teachings, this being number 5, is 1 Corinthians 3, 22 to 23. All things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. And so, continuing along this theme, while looking at additional Bible passages, the Holy Spirit impressed to me the word masterpiece yesterday. And that could be defined as a work done with extraordinary skill. Master work, or the work of a master. And usually we think of it in terms of a piece of art when we think of the word masterpiece. But the Holy Spirit was relating that word to spiritual things today. The title of today's message, Father's Masterpiece. And I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the Father's Masterpiece. And of course, Barbara, you know there's a play on words there as well. The Masterpiece in the Father's grand plan of salvation of all mankind. So, in particular, that word masterpiece refers to one of the verses in that I've just read, Colossians 1:15, which reads, "He is the image of the invisible God," the image of the Father, in other words. The Amplified reads, "He is the exact likeness." And the Passion Translation reads, "He is the divine portrait, the true likeness. All things are centered and find their reference and meaning in Jesus Christ." And even as I was driving here this morning, I was recognizing the fact of the whole calendar, B.C. and A.D., it all finds its reference in the cross of Jesus Christ. Romans 11:36, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." And so, even in, probably in some of your Bibles, you might find some sort of heading like this, New American Standard, "The Incomparable Christ," "The Passion," "The Supremacy of Christ," describing these few verses that I've read this morning, verse 13 to 20. Father's Masterpiece. Just think about that. He did it purposefully. He planned it. He envisioned all that would happen once Jesus went to the cross for you and I. If you want to make that personal. Father's Masterpiece. So number one, this morning, if you're still with me, He's provider or the answer for all things. Speaking about Jesus. Verse 13, 14, and 20, I'm taking these from. Verse 13 reads, the idea here is, "Because of his obedience to willingly submit to the will of the Father, the cross of Calvary, he delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us into the kingdom of light," the kingdom of his Son. It's talking about an actual change. One time, one day, you were in one kingdom, and then the next, when you were born again, you were in another kingdom, which you knew not of. And from that day forward, you were going to experience that other kingdom called the kingdom of God. That same word for "he delivered us from the domain of darkness" is variously translated, maybe in what you read, as "rescued" also. And here are a couple of other scriptures with that same word. 2 Timothy 3:11. "What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered or rescued me." And for your further study, I don't that's not here on the overhead, 2 Timothy 4:17 and 18. Now, moving down through these verses here in Colossians 1, verse 14 reads, "In whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin." We can also look at Romans 3:24 here, "being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." And don't read that as a one-time offering. I don't know about you, but I need to continue to be rescued. I need to continue to be delivered. And that's what Jesus does as we walk out our salvation with fear and trembling, as another scripture so poignantly reads. Verse 20, Colossians 1. "For, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross." The word reconcile means, in this instance, to reconcile completely. The debt was paid completely for you and I, once and for all. To restore to friendship, harmony, or communion. We don't often think of it in that light, but sin causes a separation from a righteous Father. And so Jesus, because of his obedience, he took care of that separation. That separating wall was removed. And I like to think of it on the day he was crucified, when the curtain in the temple was torn in two from the top down to the bottom, not the other way around. And there's a significance in that. To reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. 2 Corinthians 5:17-19. "Therefore, if any man or woman is in Christ, lost my place here. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us this word of reconciliation." And so this scripture talks about that transitioning from one kingdom, the old things have passed away, and new things have presented themselves. And I would call it a new day. Even on the day of your salvation, the world looks different to you. At least if you talk to many, if their testimony is, even their outlook of what they see had changed. And Kathy isn't here. She's down with Ryan, but the day after she got, oh, there you are, dear. Sorry about that. You moved. She moved her seat on me. But when she received the Lord, she worked at Blue Cross Blue Shield in Boston, and when she went into the office, her coworker said, "What happened to you?" Yeah, right? And this is a worldly gal, and she noticed a transformation on her countenance. Because what? Old things passed away. New things have come. This is what he does all the time, not just on your day of salvation. Because he's a provider and the answer for everything that you need. So we need to humbly acknowledge and receive, and then walk in the light of his provision, and then be thankful. Colossians 3:5. I don't even know if I have that one there, do I? 3:15. You are correct, and I am not correct. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Low battery. Not in the mic. Sorry about that. Number two. So he is the provider and answer for everything that we need in life. He's the source of all things. Verse 16. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth. And so, the word source means point of origin, or fountain, or spring, or one that initiates something, or one that from which something is birthed. So he is the source of all things. By him all things were created. Ephesians 1:10 reads, "The summing up of all things in Christ in the heavens and things upon the earth also." And so again, everything flows from Jesus. Everything. There is nothing that doesn't flow from him or find its origin or source in him. He's the source of all things. 1 Corinthians 8:6. We exist for him and through him. There is one reason why you're here. And what is that? For him. You were created for his pleasure. James 1:17 and 18. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father, and I would even say the Son also, since because the Father and Jesus are one, John 17:11 and elsewhere. Coming down from the Father and the Son, the Father of lights. And I'm going to read that in the Passion. It really captures that beautifully for us. James 1:17 and 18. Every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness, and is never subject to change. God was delighted to give us birth by the truth of his infallible word, so that we would fulfill his chosen destiny for us and become favorite ones out of all creation. That certainly is a different rendering of James 1, 17 and 18. A couple additional scriptures. Psalms 36, 9. For with thee is the fountain of light, and in thy light we see light. In Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, I mean, you just have to meditate on scriptures like this. You can't just gloss over them quickly. It's all your inheritance that is in the Word of God for you, but you have to then again take it, embrace it, and welcome it. So we need to stay connected to the source, Jesus being the source of all things, and all things will be yours in His time. Father's masterpiece. Father's masterpiece in His plan. Number three, still speaking of our precious Jesus. He's the head of all things. Verse 18 reads, in Him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. You understand the awesomeness of what and who He is. In Him all things hold together. He speaks, and that's it. It's done. And so we could even look at nature and realize that he told the sun to stay there. I mean, that bright object in the sky. And it hasn't moved since creation and so forth. He's the head of all things. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Talking about the Father's relationship with His Son, Jesus. And He, the Father, put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. It's talking about the infinite of God, the fullness. What does it mean to have the fullness of God? It's something that's always being experienced, because there's always more. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. It's highlighting the supremacy of Christ. It's exalting Jesus for who He is, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's the head of all things. I'm going to read the Passion there again for us. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For He is the complete fullness of deity, living in human form, and our own completeness is now found in Him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. This is my Jesus. This is your Jesus that the scripture is exalting here. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. And here's the charge. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. We are to grow up into him who is the head, even Christ. That is the goal. That is the definition of maturity, is to grow up into him who is the head. He's our example of what it means to be love and to walk in love and to share love. So we need to stay undercover. And I even heard with your lover when I was preparing this. We need to stay undercover, and then we will experience his love, protection, and faithfulness in all things and in all at all times. I mean, I recognize, and I know you are like me, there's something in me that wants to stray, that wants to have my own way. And I have to consciously come back to the cross. I have to make decisions every single day to come under the cover of the Most High God. Because it's a dangerous place when I come out from under his cover of protection by doing something to satisfy my desires or the desires of the flesh. So stay undercover, my friends, and you'll experience the fullness of his love, protection, and faithfulness. Number four, he's supreme over and in all things. Supreme. There's no higher authority. That's from verse 18. That he might be first place in everything. You know, do we put him first? That's a sobering question to have to answer. Do you put him first in every decision in your life? I hope you do. I hope I do. But I'm not so sure that that is always the case. And that's where repentance comes in. We can always come back when the Holy Spirit begins to show us the error of our ways. He's supreme in all things. I like the King James rendering in this particular scripture, verse 18. It says he's preeminent in all things. That word preeminent literally means supreme, outstanding, surpassing all others. Ephesians 1:21, talking about him, exalting him for who he is. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. In a class by himself, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. His name is Jesus. Far above. Matthew 28:18, Jesus speaking to his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority and here's one for you, Colossians 2:10. In him you have been made complete. In him you have been made complete. 1 Peter 3:22. Jesus Christ, who is, not who was, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers, had been subjected to him. What that is saying is all creation is subjected to Jesus Christ by the will of the Father. He's supreme, outstanding, surpassing all others. He's preeminent in all things. And we need to give honor and glory to Jesus for all things and in all things. He is supreme. There's no higher authority. Father's master, peace. Number 5. The fullness of all things. He, Jesus, is the fullness of all things. Verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. There's no fullness that doesn't dwell in him. All the fullness dwells in him. John 14, same word here for fullness, okay? John 1:14, he's full of grace and truth, talking about Jesus, full of grace and truth. John 1:16, for of his fullness we, you and I, have all received grace upon grace. That same fullness that the Father released to him, he releases through him to you and I. That's how we can survive. That's how we can cope. And ultimately, that's how we can prosper and be victorious in this life. Because of that fullness. Ephesians 1:23, his body, the church here and worldwide, the fullness of him who fills all and all. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may, what? Be filled up to all the fullness of God. And we entered into that last week when we came before him and asked him, would you fill our love tanks? That's a perfect example of what this is talking about here. Ephesians 4:13, Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature man to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. It would be impossible if not for him. I mean, that's the good news of the gospel. It would be impossible. But God made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ, to release that fullness. That very fullness of the Father and the Son and ultimately the Holy Spirit, his agent of power. So you need to desire to receive and experience more of his fullness. You think you've had some good doses of his fullness. You haven't seen anything yet. We are living in a time, we are privileged, and we need to be thankful for this. Yes, there's struggles. Yes, there's hardship in these times. But we will prevail because of his fullness and his grace. So we need to desire to receive and experience more of his fullness so that we can demonstrate by our lives and by our lifestyle who this Jesus is to the world. The Father's masterpiece. And we have to allow him to form us into his masterpiece. And that's that process of being conformed to the image of Christ that the scripture refers to. And that doesn't just happen miraculously. It happens by pressure. It happens by making the right choices. It happens by staying under his cover, by going to him, running to him, literally, in ways you never thought you would, depending on him, trusting him to form you into his masterpiece for his honor and glory. Amen. Well, the baby has been delivered. I hope you welcomed it this morning. The Father's masterpiece. We haven't seen everything yet that means, but we will. And I just encourage you, you have what it takes to succeed and to prevail and to be victorious. It doesn't mean there's not resistance. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go your way, because I would be a liar if I said that. But it does mean he is and always will be with you in the very thick of it. Whatever it is you have to go through, he's there. And as we rely on him, trust in him, that fullness that only can come from him will be released for his honor and glory. Amen. God bless you and bless your day. Thank you for being here, and I encourage you to have fellowship afterwards downstairs, as always, and the altar team will minister to your particular prayer needs as well. With that, you're dismissed. God bless you.